You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know, it's been my experience in life, 54 years on this planet, that there is nothing more dramatic and nothing more annoying than a man with a head cold.
Oh, the old man cold.
Yet here I am.
Yeah, 2.5 of us here today, folks. 2.5.
2.5. Sam, Dana, and half of Scott.
We are down to 2.5.
Woke up with the worst head cold I'd ever had in my life. I thought I was going to die.
Laid in bed for 4 hours.
Didn't get out of bed till 9:22.
You never do that.
Oh, my God. I'm out of bed at 5:45, 6:15. 9:22.
Yeah, I can hear
it. Is when I finally got out of bed.
You sound great.
It sounds that bad, huh? Mm-hmm.
You're all right. You're good. We had some breaking news right before we walked into the studio. So breaking that I asked Weir about it on his way out. And he said, no, I hadn't heard that. Speaking of ill.
What's going on?
You're going to be ill when I give you the update out of Kerr County, Texas. Those devastating floods that took the lives of all of those little girls, staff members. You all remember the horrifying story, right?
Well, it was more than just those girls. I mean, they were homeowners. And
so they're having some emergency like hearing today, you know, like a post debrief. What the hell happened? Why weren't more people warned?
It's just part of the investigation.
Yeah, that this could flood its banks. It had happened before. Like all of the debrief stuff that officials do.
Okay.
Moments ago from the New York Times. The head county emergency official of Kerr County says he was ill and sleeping as the Texas floods hit. It is the first time he explained his whereabouts when the Guadalupe River burst its banks.
And this is the head of what?
The emergency management coordinator for all of Kerr County, Texas.
So the top dog?
The guy.
Huh. And he slept right through it, huh?
He testified today that he was sick and asleep as the floodwaters rose in the middle of the night, eventually killing 108 people. The admission by the official, William B. Thomas IV, came at the start of an extraordinary hearing held by state lawmakers in a packed convention center in the city of Kerrville, a short walk from the banks of the Guadalupe River, which surged to record levels in the pre-dawn darkness July 4th. Hundreds of residents attended the hearing. Many of them hoped to testify in what was expected to be an emotional session lasting more than 12 hours. The hearing began with 3.5 hours of testimony from county officials, including Mr. Thomas, the county's emergency management coordinator since 2015. He had not spoken publicly since the flood as questions were raised about where he was and why neither he nor anyone else in the county had issued warnings about the rapidly worsening situation along the river. This is his quote. I want to directly address questions about my whereabouts. He explained that he had always planned to be off work that day to fulfill a commitment to my elderly father, that because of a progressing illness, he had stayed home. I stayed in bed throughout July 3rd and did not participate in the regularly scheduled 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Texas Emergency Management Coordination Center coordination calls.
Now, is he the only one with the power to issue those warnings? And also, I thought we had heard that warnings were issued, just not in a timely fashion. And there was also another story that I had read that some people at the camp had delayed their reaction to the warnings as well. And they think that may have led to some of the devastation.
Well, there were warnings that were issued. I think, and I don't know if everybody got the warnings. For example, there was a tornado warning for Johnson County. What was it, a month ago, 2 months ago? Dana got it on her phone.
And you didn't.
I did not get it on my phone. And it happened in the middle of the show.
Right.
By the way, this emergency management coordinator has years of experience in the disaster response industry. Mm-hmm. He previously worked at the Texas Department of Public Safety and helped coordinate the response to Hurricane Katrina. So, you know, he has years of experience in these things. Now, does the absence of any county's emergency management coordinator lead to death? I'm asking. I'm asking. I don't know.
Does he not have a deputy to whom he can call and say, "Hey, Gary, it's Tom. I'm really sick. I'm not feeling up to snuff. I'm gonna lay down and take a nap." And then you're in charge. If God forbid anything were to happen, I mean, when boss leaves, we all know that. I don't know how this ever happened. Sam is in charge.
They assailed Mr. Kelly.
Well, and he mentioned that he planned to have the day off already for the July 4th holiday. Is he not allowed a day off?
Listen to this.
He is allowed a day off
until
or unless all hell breaks loose.
Here's why this is so bad. Mr. Thomas, as the county's emergency management coordinator, oversees the response to all these things, right? He works under the county's judge, Judge Rob Kelly, who is the top-ranking official in the county.
Don't let the word judge fool you. That's what they call them down in Texas. They're really city or county commissioners.
Mr. Kelly testified. So now we've got Mr. Thomas, who's sound asleep. Judge Kelly testified Thursday that he had been at his second home away when the flooding hit and only returned when the scale of the floods became apparent the next day. The Texas lieutenant governor was sitting on the committee hearing, assailed Judge Kelly for what he said was his absence. "I never saw you on day one. I came here from Austin. I talked to the sheriff. I talked to the mayor. We had meetings. Where was everyone?" The three men in Kerr County who were responsible for sounding the alarm were all effectively unavailable at the height of the emergency.
So let me ask you something. How is that even possible? We, the three of us, have a dumb little radio show in the afternoon. All right, hear me out on this. We are not responsible for life. We are not responsible for safety. All we do is blah, 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 and maybe inform or entertain people throughout the afternoon. But the three of us have a policy that only one can be gone at a time. Dana and I cannot take the same day off. Sam and I cannot take the same day off. Sam and Dana cannot take the same day off. We have to have two people on the show at all times.
The judge was away. The sheriff didn't wake up until 4:20 in the morning.
Did nobody call
him?
And
the emergency management coordinator testified he was sick.
Well, I don't care how sick you are. When there's something like that going on, you go to work. I don't care if you have to put Depends undergarments on.
Yeah, at first I was willing to come to the defense of the emergency coordinator considering the circumstances, but now that I know that all three were out in some capacity, where were you, bro?
This is unconscionable. And one of the neighboring county folks testified that we were up at 2, 3 in the morning. We had an uneasy feeling about it. Like, they mobilized people around 3, 4 a.m.
Well, they were in issuing the county warnings that was at 1:15 in the morning.
Yes.
The first warnings were going out. And I don't believe it was at 1:15 where it was a warning, but it was a, "Hey, pay attention. We're getting a lot of rain. There's much more in the forecast, and this system may park over Kerr County."
So what is it when your top three people in charge of an emergency are gone in an emergency? Is it that...
It's poor management.
Oh, my God. Or is it you just don't think it's going to happen? Said the guy that responded to Hurricane Katrina. That doesn't make sense either, Scott.
But Dana, like, to go back 2 minutes from now, we do a dumb radio show, and we have a policy that two people have to be on the show no matter what. There only one person can be gone at any given time. And all we do is a radio show.
Well, and to Dana's point, maybe there is a chance they saw the rain was coming. They know it's a floodplain. It floods all the time. It's never anything big. You know, the water is going to rise a little bit. It'll go back down. Maybe they didn't foresee the aggressive nature of this particular storm, and they thought to themselves, "Oh, it'll be fine. We'll deal with that building on Monday."
The judge got a phone call at 4:56 a.m., a frantic phone call from somebody in that chain. It was 4 hours after the National Weather Service said flash flooding was heading to Kerr County.
Mm-hmm.
4 hours later.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
So, Sam, you are sort of right, because they talked to a former county sheriff that retired after serving 40 years in the area where all of those children died.
Central Texas.
And he says he would have been in touch with close acquaintances along that basin, right? Even so, he was hesitant to say it would have made a difference because the water rose so quickly. He called it an inland tsunami. He said a flash flood warning on its own, which happened around 1:15 in the morning, did not in and of itself foretell the kind of destruction seen on the river that night in Hunt. He said, quote, "We get them all the time. How do we get around the fact that we have so many flash flood warnings that are mostly a nuisance versus the ones that are clearly deadly? How do we get people to understand the difference?"
Is this a situation where, not unlike here, where you issue a tornado warning and what do people do? They go outside and look outside out their front porch.
They go on with their day.
Mm-hmm.
Until you tell them that tornado is bearing down on them at that exact moment.
At that very moment, and then they go to the basement.
And I don't know if this is criminal or not. I don't know. The issue that they're going to have down there is the neighboring counties. So think about your county, whether you're listening in Jackson or Clay or Platt or Johnson, the neighboring counties' emergency management folks, Sam, at 1:15, half of their staff was awakened and up and already coordinating just in case. And in the county where this struck, the top three people were sleeping.
Let's go to Stephen in Olathe, 586-7798. Stephen, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So you guys mentioned that that the top three officials were sleeping. Let's not forget that this was 4th of July weekend, and everyone was doing their vacationing and whatnot. So, you know, it's that. But one thing that I've been seeing in the past few months is that this is happening more and more often where people are falling asleep at the wheel. And, you know, out there in St. Louis, we had, like, that huge storm that came through, and everyone was off at a convention dinner.
Yep, and that's what Weir was saying. You know, yeah.
Great point.
You know, to quote Bugsby, he said that everyone just seemed to forget about the fact that that there was a tropical storm inside the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, they sleep on this stuff quite often. I remember being at work last year, and it was going to be a sunny day. The forecast was 0% rain, and then kaboom, 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 lightning and kabooms. And come back to the news the next day, and what do they say? Rogue storm. You know, it seems like meteorology is the only place where you can catastrophically fail and still have a job the next day.
Well, it is a science, but it's an inexact science, and I don't fault them for that. There are so many. I mean, trying to predict nature has to be one of the toughest jobs in America. Trying to predict what the weather is going to do, the fact that they get it right more often than not, in and of itself, is incredible. Yes.
But we know here where the usual suspects are, the low-lying areas that are going to flood when we see rain like we saw a couple of weeks ago. And it's no different in this area of Texas, I'm sure. Yeah. They know. But it would be one thing, Scott, if one of them had been on vacation. All three of them are sleeping. That's a problem.
Well, and here's what I was thinking about just a minute ago. If let's say that the Dana Parks program, or no, let's say this building is in and of itself its own little city, and we have a police chief in here, and we have a fire chief, and we have a deputy police chief, and we have a deputy fire chief. If the police chief in our little city is going to take some time off, does the deputy police chief get to take time off at the exact same time?
No.
The answer has to be no.
I mean, it works in any office.
In public safety, the answer is no.
It's always no.
It works in sales.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire sales staff can't take the same time off because if somebody calls and wants to buy something.
If you are in a position of leadership and you have somebody who is directly under you on the, you know, the totem pole, if you will, the two of you cannot be off at the same time.
What if there was a different kind of security threat?
What do you mean?
The sheriff was at home asleep, did not answer his phone until 4 hours later. What if there was a different kind of security threat?
Yeah, because emergency management covers all of it.
A mass shooting,
you're a sheriff,
a tornado.
Anything.
You would have to have a deputy sheriff on call.
Now, would it have changed? Here's the deal. Would it have changed at 1:15 in the morning these flood warnings were issued? Had everyone been awake and been doing their job, the question then becomes in the rearview mirror, would you have evacuated that camp? I don't know, Scott.
Would you have not?
Would they have not? I don't know. Would you have at least then had the lead time before 4 a.m., 5 a.m. to say, wake everyone up, you have to get to higher ground?
Or at least get down to the camp and say, listen, we know that this is a private place, but there is a huge storm. There are flood warnings coming.
Yeah.
We think it is smart if you get out of here now.
Or would they have treated it the same way because they've had so many flood warnings in the past? Joplin, 2011.
The boy who cried wolf. I don't know the answer. I don't know. All right. We have an arrest in Arkansas.
Have you seen the mugshot?
I have. 28-year-old James McGann has been arrested. He's from Springdale, Arkansas. He's charged with two counts of capital murder in connection with the killings of 43-year-old Clinton Brink and his 41-year-old wife, Kristen Brink. He was in a barber shop getting his hair cut yesterday afternoon at 4:57.
Look at his eyes.
Angry.
He looks like a madman.
That is the third mugshot I've seen of him with a different haircut.
And he looks crazier in every one. And former teacher.
Well, no, he was a teacher.
Well, but one of the districts that they interviewed the folks there today that had just hired him, he was accused of inappropriate conduct at another school. Parents were saying he was the most bizarre, standoffish.
But he was supposed to start teaching fifth grade at Springdale Public Schools in Arkansas, but he had not started his employment yet.
They have got to release a motive here.
The superintendent said that he had never had contact with any of their students because his job had technically not started yet. What could the motive be?
They say there is no known connection at this point between this man and that poor husband and wife.
He looks cray cray. And by the way, if you ever needed proof that composite sketches never work, that composite sketch doesn't look anything like him.
It's not super close. I will give you that.
By super close, it looks like P. Diddy.
You know,
the court drawings.
I will remind you. Photograph that was widely disseminated yesterday showed him from behind, mm-hmm. wearing all black, wearing fingerless gloves.
And long sleeves
and a jacket and a backpack and 100-degree weather.
It was 92 degrees that day in Arkansas, yes.
Police said because of that composite sketch, they were overwhelmed with tips as far away as Washington State.
But it was the vehicle that led them to him,
yeah,
right?
I agree, Sam, because they had a partial plate and they had...
There were pieces of tape on the license plate.
Yes.
He had tried to cover up his license plate a little bit. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, let's lighten it up a little bit. Can't do with all the death.
Oh, you don't want to go to Combs attorneys arguing that his case should be tossed out?
We'll get to that one later.
Oh, okay.
It's in the stack. This one from the New York Post. In a shocking new study out of Japan, scientists had men smell women's armpits.
Well, it's better than sniffing something else.
And discovered that their body odor could sway a man's behavior, even helping them relax. But the effect only kicked in at certain times of the month when the men found the scent more appealing and the women's faces suddenly looked a whole lot cuter to the guys doing the sniffing of the pits.
Were they drinking?
The old pheromones.
It is pheromones, and we had a conversation about this the other day.
You've heard of scent of a woman?
Yeah, there is a primal. It's primal. I don't know how else to say it. The smell of another human being close to you can be a primal sense.
Well, it's 100% primal. And you can think that you love someone, but if you hate their natural smell...
Not happening.
You might not love them as much as you say you do.
Do you ever smell Mary Beth's armpits?
Not her armpits, no, but I do smell her head.
Oh.
I'm obsessed with the smell. Obsessed.
The smell of what?
I love... There is a primal something, like, you know it when you smell it, and I...
Wait, what are you smelling? Why'd you hesitate to answer?
Well, because, like, it's just of that human being.
Oh, yeah.
Not specifically. Like, human beings have a smell. Not a bad smell, not a good smell, just a smell.
Well, some smell bad.
Some do smell bad. Usually the one seated right next to you on an airplane is showered for 8 days.
Right.
But it's a primal thing. I absolutely believe if they've done these tests... And the same thing with your olfactories as a mother when you smell your infant child releases all of the dopamine and the good feelings.
You know, there was a conversation out in the newsroom earlier today, and the younger guys, Carrington, Rob, Sam, were all saying that the young men today don't wear cologne. Nobody wears cologne. I wear cologne every day.
I have a story in my stack about that very thing. When did cologne go away? Because do you guys not remember when we were in high school? Dracar?
Oh, please.
Please.
Polo?
Polo, if you were wealthy.
Yeah.
So listen to this from the New York Times. Are tight jeans and cologne reason enough to stop dating a nice man? I recently started dating a man who is funny. He's bright. His lifestyle preferences are aligned with mine. The problem? On our third date, he showed up wearing tight white jeans and cologne.
What's wrong with cologne?
I appreciate that he might like this vibe, but it's not for me. And then they go on to say, you know, do you say something? Because there's one thing about someone's natural scent that you are wildly attracted to. Mm-hmm. Cologne and perfume both are in the eye of the wearer. Ugh. So, you guys, ladies, remember Exclamation back when we were in high school? Blech.
What was the... women's perfume that I
baby
was,
soft.
No, was there one called Eternity or Infinity?
Eternity for women.
Eternity for women.
There was also Eternity for men.
I would date an ugly woman if she wore Eternity for women.
And you can't put your finger on it. You just know that you like that smell.
It was that scent that I was just so drawn to. I happen to be wearing at the moment 3 squirts of Versace.
Wow.
T bought it for me, because this is a true story. If left to my druthers, I will only wear Old Spice. And I've told you this before. Okay. My dad wore Old Spice cologne. And so I don't go out and buy, you know, Versace for men or Dracar or Polo. I will just go to the grocery store and get a $6 bottle of Old Spice because it reminds me of my dad.
That's sweet.
That's why I wear Old Spice. But when...
You have never said that in all the times that I've made fun of you for wearing Old Spice, and now I feel like a jerk.
I've never told you that story?
No.
That's why I wear Old Spice. It reminds me of my dad.
Well, I will never call you a 14-year-old again.
So anyway, but for my birthday in June, T bought me a very nice bottle of Versace. And let me tell you, it smells really good.
Okay, but you've got to be careful when you're buying someone else cologne. And I did this over, I don't know, 8-9 months ago.
Does Johnny wear cologne?
Yes. And I took my son with me. And have you ever tried just to go to the perfume or the cologne aisle and go from one to the other to the other? Because that was overwhelming. Like, I think I like this one, but I don't know. I don't remember what the last one smelled like. And well, so I had my son, I had my son help me. And I like it. He likes it. But I like them without it too. I think 3 squirts, we might have to have that conversation, Scott.
No, it's one to the right, one to the Adam's apple, one to the left.
Okay.
Am I repulsing you?
No, not at all.
Can you smell me over there?
I cannot.
Okay, then I think that's an adequate. I'd like to keep the
divider between us because you are sick.
I think that's an adequate spray amount. What were you going to say, Sam?
You don't spray directly on.
Where am I supposed to spray, Sam?
You're supposed to spray it in the air and then walk through it.
That's correct.
That's perfume. I spray directly on the skin.
Okay, text line. I forgot that Scott mentioned that his dad wore Old Spice, and that's why he wears Old Spice. I am getting lit up for that. Sorry.
It's all good.
Everybody in the military wears Old Spice.
Really?
Yes.
Some people are allergic to cologne.
My mother hates it.
It's not necessarily the best thing for you.
It's one of those things that you know it when you smell it. You either hate it or you love it. And if you ever had somebody just walk by, like let's just say you're in a restaurant and somebody walks by, or you get on an elevator and somebody has just come off that elevator.
If it's a lot.
Doused with that whatever it is. And it's like, oh my gosh, a little bit goes a long way.
So you mentioned something interesting, Sam. You said it's not necessarily good for you. There's a Train song that refers to cologne as poison.
Yeah.
Is cologne a poison?
I don't know well enough to speak in an educated fashion on it, but I know that it's not necessarily good for you. I know people who are allergic, and if they even so much as pass someone in a grocery store that is wearing cologne, they break out into a sneezing fit because their body does not
like
appreciate it.
All right, there are some ingredients in cologne that can be poisonous. Ethyl alcohol and isopropyl alcohol. But you're not ingesting it. You're just putting it on your skin.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If you were going out with someone and they were wearing it, would you say something?
Well, wait a minute. How do you think you smell it?
You inhale it.
Ingesting the particles.
I see what you're saying.
But would you be comfortable saying to a woman, you know what, I really like certain scents, and this one is overwhelming. Like, maybe we back off.
No. Like, well, how close is she to me? Is she you?
Third date.
No.
You wouldn't say anything.
If it was you?
Yeah.
Like, you and I have been together for 14 years.
You would be like,
If you came in with a rather...
pungent.
Loud scent. I would probably, during a commercial... Well, no, I'd probably do it on the air.
Oh, yeah.
I would say, Dana, what are you wearing?
Yeah, back off.
It is driving me insane.
There have been workplace like lawsuits over this, by the way, where one employee will say, I cannot work in this environment because the person in the cubicle next to me has this scent.
But wouldn't you rather they have a very robust cologne perfume scent?
Not if you're allergic to it.
As opposed to a body odor?
Yes, but not
if
you're
halitosis.
Not if you're allergic to it. Like, do you have the right as a worker to wear perfume if I'm your coworker and I'm allergic to it?
I mean, I make fun of Scott all the time for how pungent his smell is.
That's Old Spice. It reminds me of my dad, Sam. Well,
yeah, now I'm a jerk for it. I have been known many times to tell my buddies, hey, bro, did you get enough cologne on before I picked you up?
Yeah, you just make a joke about it.
Roll the windows down, 4 degrees outside. I need to breathe some fresh air.
But tell me this, back to the original start of this conversation. Why do young men, people your age, 28, 30, 35, like Rob Breton, why do you guys not wear cologne? Is it because it's too expensive and it's just not worth the money? Or it's vanity?
God, it was such a huge thing in the 80s.
Oh my God, every kid wore Dracar.
I don't really like it. And I did wear it in high school. I was very worried. Now, granted, I was using antiperspirant deodorant, so I was very sweaty. And I know that doesn't make sense, but fun fact, aluminum deodorant actually makes you sweat more.
Okay.
And so I was super worried about my stench, and so I used it in high school. And after that, I was like, I'm done.
There is a trend on social media encouraging young men to use high-end fragrances to enhance their personal appeal and attract others. And it is a verb... Brace yourself, because I'm about to drop some knowledge on all of you that you should be using with your teenager tonight.
Okay. I don't have a teenager anymore.
It's called smell maxing.
Excuse me?
A trend called smell maxing on social media encourages young men to use high-end fragrances to enhance their personal appeal and attract others. I'm sorry, sir. Have you been smell maxing?
No. By the way, Versace is currently the most popular cologne for men the United States.
I just asked him, what is the name of the cologne? I can't remember it. And he just said, I can't remember it either. I'd have to look. He didn't wear it every day.
A cologne called Victorinox is number 2. Okay.
I also think that I was scarred by the level of Axe body spray walking around my high school.
No, every mother in America was scarred by that, Sam. We've all been scarred.
And granted, I contributed, but you couldn't turn a corner without getting basically fumigated out of the building. Fumigated?
Smell maxed.
Smell maxed. We'll go with that.
Sam Stevie the third, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. 913-586-7798 here on KMBZ. It works every time.
Doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense. Luke in Kansas City. Luke, hello.
Hey, guys. Love your show. Calling to talk to you about the cologne. If you feel you can't say anything about somebody's smell being too pungent with cologne, you know, there used to be hygiene rules with employment. My wife works in the corporate world, and she has a woman who has real natural dreadlocks, and it is a horrible stench that works through her office, but yet nobody in the entire business is allowed to say anything to her about the smell because they're not allowed to. It's against the rules now. So you'll offend somebody.
Well, you know how you get natural dreadlocks, right?
I do. You, unfortunately,
you don't wash your hair for more than a year.
Yes, and put egg yolks and roll it in dirt and nastiness, other things that I can't imagine. Yeah,
you do have to roll it pretty regularly, yeah.
But if you can't say anything to someone about that, about, hey, I need you to shower before you come in and work in the same 10-foot space
right.
with people, how could you dare say anything to them about a cologne or a perfume?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Luke, thank you for the call, man, and thanks for the kind words. Nick in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Dana.
Hey.
Hey, love the show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
And I just wanted to chime in. I have been wearing cologne since I was 15 and I'm 36. And ironically enough, Scott, you and I must have the same taste because I've been wearing Versace ever since I was 15. And I don't know why more men don't wear it. I think it's a compliment. I enjoy the kind that I buy. My wife enjoys it as well. I've never changed it in almost 20 years. It's just a go-to for me. And so I think every man should have a bottle like in their stash and just use it sparingly. But it'll compliment a man. And I just think more men should do it. I don't know why they don't, but I am one of those that does it. I wear cologne every day like you, Scott.
Let me ask you a question, Nick. Do you take cologne on vacation?
Uh-huh. Maybe the roller, maybe the side roller.
Because yeah. I do not. That is the only time I never wear cologne is when I'm on vacation.
I do, Scott, but I have to buy a smaller bottle. Like, I have to buy a travel-size bottle, which is normally a little more expensive than the regular bottle. Just I can go through TSA. But I carry it on vacation as well, you know. If we're vacationing somewhere, I definitely want to smell good, you know, while I'm over there. And so I just buy a travel-size, and I make sure that I've got it in my luggage. If I ever, like, leave it at home, I'm kind of upset because it's, like, my go-to thing every day. But I try to bring it with me everywhere, so.
Okay. All right, man. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening down in Louisiana. That's awesome.
All right. In what might be the funniest story that we've seen in a while, a driver has been pulled over after crashing his truck into a concrete barrier in Oklahoma. And there's a photo. We will post this on social. When police opened the driver's side door, there was no steering wheel at all. There's just like a screw.
How was he driving?
Popping out of the hole where a steering wheel would normally go. Police and firefighters responding to the scene of a highway crash were surprised to discover the driver had no steering wheel, but was instead getting by thanks to an unsafe workaround. Maybe the motorist was too busy or a little strapped for cash to buy a replacement for their missing steering. How does one lose a steering wheel?
You don't. You're just working on the truck, and you haven't had time to put it on yet. You need to go get something.
So instead, it seems they dug around in their tool bag and pulled out a very questionable solution. A pair of vice grips. As God is our witness, someone took a silver pair of pliers, the kind that lock into place, locked it around the screw that comes out of the steering wheel, and then was attempting to drive around on a highway with a wrench – in place of the steering wheel.
A vice grip.
Not redneck enough, because the old vice grip on the stealing column trick is very common.
What'd you call it? A what around?
It's a workaround.
Well, when you are driving with a vice grip and you need to make a wide turn, you do have to reach all the way around to make that turn happen.
What would you call that?
Troopers are quoted as saying, seriously, where did this man's steering wheel go? How do you lose a steering wheel?
News coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.